Chapter 7. It was late on a hot, breezy afternoon, and Katie was sweeping the front walk. She swung the broom vigorously from side to side as she sang. The last corn had been canned, and nothing else would be ready for a while. She could relax a few days. Levi and Ike were working at the Fordney place. She thought of all the money Levi was earning because Pop stayed home and let him take his place. 25 cents an hour. If they had a long day, Levi might earn $3. She finished and looked about her. It was quiet with the boys away and Mom and Rudy resting. Pop was working out in the barn. As she took the broom to the summer kitchen, Katie heard the long wail of a train whistle. She hurried to the porch. It was coming slowly, a long stream of black smoke and sparks flying from the smokestacks of the two engines. As they chugged up the grade, she began counting. 110 cars! No wonder the engines were working so hard. Well, she shouldn't stand there. There was work to do. Katie was finished mopping the kitchen and had taken the rug out to shake when she saw it. She stood, horrified, and then ran to the barn, screaming, "Pop!" she yelled. "Pop! Come quick! The wheat stubbles are burning, and the wind's coming toward the house. Hurry, Pop!" Pop came from the barn where he'd been mending harness. He took one look and dashed for the horse trough. "Call the fire company!" he hollered. "Where's Leaner?" Leaner had been napping, but he was up and barking when he heard his name. He stood quivering, waiting, while Katie ran to the house and scribbled, "Fire! Call firemen!" on a note, and dashed out to fasten it to his collar. Mom was up and wide awake now. She helped Katie with the note, and finally it was fastened. "Up, Leaner! Up to Saul!" Katie shouted. With a leap over the fence, he was off and racing to the Hermans. Pop had soaked some burlap bags in the horse trough and went running down the field, slapping at the flames. Katie and Mom watched. "That isn't just smoke, Mom. See those flames? If that breeze gets any stronger, we're in trouble. The wind's headed this way, and Pop has no help." She stopped talking when she saw how white and trembling Mom was. Pop was alone. He'd never be able to stop it if the firemen didn't arrive soon. "Oh God, if you can help us now. Mom is too sick for anything to happen." In a few moments, Mom and Katie heard the sirens of the fire trucks hurrying from Westboro. Katie knew just where they were as she followed the sounds. Then she saw them flying down the road. They slowed at the turn and cut across the uneven field. The firemen in their shiny black coats looked like a lot of busy ants. Katie breathed a sigh of relief as the smoke and flames finally died down. Oh, thank God, the fire trucks had enough water in their tanks. "The boys are home." Mom was still standing there watching. She was the first to see the dust cloud as the DeSoto came in the lane. "They must have finished threshing early." She turned to go in when she saw the boys race across the field to the firemen. She looked calmer now. "I suppose we may as well start supper. The boys will be here after all," she said. Katie got out the ham, and Mom peeled potatoes. There were some beans already cleaned, and now supper could cook without further preparation. "What's going on?" Rudy entered the kitchen wide-eyed. "I heard a noise. What's going on?" He looked at Mom, but she didn't answer. So Katie explained. "The wheat stubbles were burning. Pop was alone, so we called the fire company. They put out the fire." She said it carefully. It wouldn't be good for Mom if Rudy got upset. But he didn't get upset. He went to the porch and sat quietly looking out over the field. He watched as the firemen collected their belongings and went home. Katie came out and sat beside him. "What is the black?" "That's the part that was burned." "If the men didn't stop it, would it all be burned?" "It could have." "Firemen are good people." Rudy looked at the burned part again. "I don't like when a field is black." At the supper table, everyone wanted to talk at once. Nobody wanted to listen. First, Pop was telling of the good job the firemen did. He was amazed how soon they got here. Katie spoke next. "I was only in the house a few minutes," she said. "That strong breeze had me scared. But the firemen worked fast. Thank God they had enough water." "We were almost finished with the threshing," added Levi. "Then we saw the fire trucks. Dan Fordney saw the smoke and said we should go home. We sure can be glad the wind wasn't stronger."
"Hey!" interrupted Rudy. "I said, hey! Nobody listens to me!"
Sorry, what did you want to say? Asked Ike, when everyone had stopped talking.
I want to say a question.
We're listening.
Did Lena call the fireman?
Yes.
Well, where is he now? Did he stay up with Saul because he was scared to come home?
Everyone looked surprised, and nobody had an answer. In the confusion and excitement after the fire, everyone had forgotten about Lena. He usually came rushing and stood there waiting for their praise. This time he hadn't returned.
Yeah, where is he?
Levi pushed back his chair, but Mom stopped him. Eat your dessert first, son, she said. Then we'll all look. But the peaches didn't taste good to anyone. They called and called, but they got no answer from Lena. Ike suggested they drive along the road. He might have been hit by a car. He and Levi looked, but found nothing.
You know he never goes by the road.
Katie had always seen him crossing the field.
Why don't you ask Saul?
Maybe he knows. He'd know if he came back. But Saul did not know where Lena was. Rudy cried until he was exhausted, then Pop gently put him to bed. Mom was sitting on the porch watching as they looked under the porch, behind every bush and in every corner. It was getting dark, and they were still searching when Ike suddenly said, "Oh!" and darted around the corner of the fence. They saw him reach out and lay something on the ground. He came slowly through the gate and up to the porch. He looked sad. "Lena is dead," he said. Everyone was too shocked to speak. Finally, Pop asked the question, "Whatever happened?" "He was coming home, and his collar caught on the fence when he jumped. He choked. So near home." Ike's voice broke. He couldn't say any more. They all loved Lena. Suddenly, Levi was stomping on the porch floor. "It's all Saul's fault. It is." Katie was just as angry. "You're right. If he hadn't been so stubborn about letting the telephone company cross that little corner of his field, this wouldn't have happened. We depended on Lena for any calls we made, and now he's dead. What will we do now?" She turned away. "I wish we'd never come here," she said softly. "That's enough, children." Pop was too sad to be stern.
"What will we tell Rudy?" asked Ike.
"I can't tell him that I found Lena hanging on the fence." They all thought for a moment. Then Pop said, "We don't want to lie to Rudy. Lying is wrong, no matter what. All we need to say is that Lena was probably running so fast and was so confused by the fire trucks and fire that he got tangled up in the fence when he tried to jump it, and he died." Ike agreed. "At the speed that dog travels, he may not have judged his distance properly. I was amazed every time I saw him jump that fence. I guess he made a mistake this time." They all decided that's what they'd tell Rudy. Pop told Ike to put Lena in the shed, and they'd bury him in the morning. Nobody was hungry next morning. Tears flowed as Rudy tried to eat his oatmeal. He accepted their story of what happened, but he couldn't accept Lena's death. Pop had found a nice box for Lena, but they couldn't decide where to bury him. Finally, Katie's suggestion was chosen, and they all climbed up the hill to the rock where they liked to sit. Pop had the shovel, and Ike carried the box. They found a nice place under the tree behind the rock. Ike dug the hole. Lovingly, they placed the dog there. When they turned to go, Levi was already halfway down the hill. A dog can get to be almost as close as a brother, and Lena had shared Levi's life for 7 years. Even Rudy seemed to know that right now, Levi wanted to be alone.